From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. Juneau has officially broken its snowfall record. The city reached 201.2 inches at the Juneau International Airport at midnight, surpassing the previous record of nearly 198 inches set in the winter of 2006 to 2007. Snowfall has been recorded at the airport since 1943. Nicole Farron, the warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Juneau, says a polar air mass over the northern panhandle is the main reason the city has seen so much snow this season.
The pattern has been our cold Arctic outflow being more prevalent and stronger this year than other years. So keeping the rain snow line south of Juneau versus hovering back and forth over us like we see more often.
The winter started with back-to-back storms in December that dumped 4 feet of snow on the capital city in as many days. Roofs collapsed, boats sank, and the city ran out of places to dump all of the snow plowed from the roads, causing the city and tribal governments to declare an emergency in early January. It was the second snowiest December on record, coming in at 82 inches. In January, snowfall slowed down and the month ended with just over 21 inches. February saw more of the same and about 28 inches fell. And Juneau had already broken its March record for snow, which was previously set in 2007. The capital city has seen 69.2 inches fall so far this month. The city and borough of Juneau began mailing out annual property tax assessment values to homes and businesses late last week. And for most, the change from this year to last shouldn't be too jarring. According to new data shared by the city, the median assessed value for residential properties increased by just over 0.5%. The median assessed value of a single-family home increased by even less, about 0.32%. Angie Flake, the city's finance director, says this year's data follows a recent trend of stability in Juneau's housing market.
We're flat. You know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of price competition. We're not seeing huge fluctuations in sales prices like, you know, was experienced earlier this decade.
In 2023, Juneau's residential assessed property value increased by an average of about 16%, and some residents reported a more than 40% rise. But for the past 2 years, values have largely cooled down, increasing by less than 2% annually on average. But that wasn't the case for everyone. Last year, many homes in the Mendenhall Valley near the riverfront saw a roughly 20% drop in value. That was largely because of the glacial outburst flood in 2024, which damaged more than 300 homes in the area. Flake says this year's data in that area is much more stable. It follows the installation of HESCO barriers, or a temporary levee, that protected hundreds of homes during last August's flood.
We took a more conservative approach a couple of years ago and expected homes to sell for quite a bit less in the area because of the proximity to the river. That just hasn't borne out in reality with sales data that we have.
Commercial office and retail buildings saw a 14% spike this year, but overall commercial property assessments increased by roughly 7.5%. Though property tax assessments are in the mail, residents won't be billed until this summer. The city calculates property taxes by multiplying a property's assessed value by the local mill rate. The Juneau Assembly will decide on a mill rate in the coming months. And three finalists have been chosen in a mural contest to decorate new bear-resistant trash infrastructure in downtown Juneau this summer. The winning design will be printed on an enclosure of bear-resistant cans near the cruise ship docks, as well as on bear-resistant cans in areas of downtown frequented by the animals. When bears get into trash, they learn to turn to garbage and people for food, which can make them dangerous. The state has to euthanize bears that have become aggressive while looking for food in city streets and neighborhoods. All three designs, predictably, feature bears. Adelia Deitch, who grew up in Juneau and Skagway, submitted the design of a mama bear and two cubs in a field of dandelions. Inupiat artist and Juneau local Crystal Jackson's design features bears in three panels over bright watercolor backgrounds. Savannah Hancock's design is also in three panels and depicts bears enjoying some of Juneau's natural resources, salmon and berries. The contest is sponsored by Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The winner will get $7,000 plus $3,000 to go to a nonprofit of their choice. Voting is live on the ADF&G Southeast Alaska's Facebook and Instagram accounts until March 31st. The American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska came to Juneau last week to give training sessions on what to do if residents encounter immigration enforcement actions in town, whether you're a bystander, an employer, or someone getting detained. KTOO's Yvonne Krumry has more.
In a Know Your Rights session at the University of Alaska Southeast, ACLU Alaska Executive Director Mara Kimmel explains the legal nuances of immigration enforcement. Kimmel points to the ACLU's Family Safety Planning Guide, which loved ones can use to know what to do if someone is detained.
That outlines all of the information that should be available to family members of people who might be picked up and detained. So what to do with your kids, where are your critical documents like your passports or your bank accounts or your passwords and all of that.
The ACLU trainings, held in partnership with community organization Hatush Latish Coalition, are meant to help residents prepare for federal immigration officials coming to homes and businesses or stopping people in public. The information sessions come as federal agents have detained and removed multiple Juneau residents for immigration enforcement and separated a family in Soldotna last month. Kimmel says anyone picked up by federal agents has the right to remain silent and the right to an attorney. She advises people to document what's happening with video, if they can do so safely, and to write down agents' badge numbers. For business owners, Kimmel advises clearly labeling private spaces in buildings and making sure documents are not in plain view. If immigration enforcement officials come to a home or workplace, they need judicial warrants, not administrative warrants, to enter private spaces. And this information should be included in a written policy for businesses and organizations.
And so part of your developing a written policy is also to make sure that you're practicing the magic words that you need to utter, which are, I'm not going to let you in, this is a private space, and show me, I will only let you in if you can show me a judicial warrant. If they do show you a warrant, you have to let them in.
Kimmel says an individual who hides a person or aids someone resisting federal agents is putting themselves at legal risk. The second half of the training is about bystander intervention. She says one of the most important things a bystander can do is be safe and stay calm when encountering any kind of immigration enforcement action.
And one of the first things to do if you happen upon a law enforcement interaction is make sure that the person actually wants help. Because the last thing you want to do is just get them into further and further hot water.
If the person says they do want help, Kimmel says to ask for their name and get as much biographical information as you can about the person, like their date of birth, country of origin, and alien registration number. Then, she says, the second step is to ask if there's anyone you can call for the person, whether it's family or an attorney.
The third piece is try to document the enforcement action. Again, do this safely. If law enforcement is being awful and egregious, back away.
Kimmel says bystanders can legally record or film interactions and state the date, time, and location for the recording. And lastly, she says, report the action to the person's lawyer, if they have one, and the ACLU. She says the ACLU can help people find volunteer attorneys if they don't have legal representation already. During her visit in Juneau, Kimmel also gave a talk for the Juneau World Affairs Council. She mentioned the impact immigrant communities have on Alaska. She says, as of 2023, immigrants pay about $500 million in taxes and spend nearly $2 billion in Alaska each year.
That's not chump change, especially for a state that has been struggling mightily recently with a budget. This goes for all immigrants, including people who are here without documents in our state.
And she says economics are only some of the benefits migrants bring to the state. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cromery.
Kimmel's full presentation on immigration law can be found on KTOO 360 TV's YouTube channel. Future ACLU virtual and in-person trainings can be found at acluak.org/events. And the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday in a case challenging mail-in ballot deadlines. In Alaska, the court's decision could extend to other types of voting as well. The Republican National Committee is challenging Mississippi's law allowing mailed ballots to arrive up to 5 days after Election Day. Alaska accepts ballots that arrive up to 10 days after Election Day, as long as they're postmarked on or before that date. The case could be consequential for the midterm elections when control of Congress is at stake. While people of both parties vote by mail, more permissive rules for it are perceived to help Democrats, especially since President Trump rails against the practice. U.S. Solicitor General John Sauer argued that counting ballots that arrive late violates the federal law that it sets the election day for the whole country.
All ballots have to be received and the ballot box has to close on election day.
In Alaska's last general election, more than 50,000 ballots arrived by mail, although the Division of Elections couldn't immediately say how many of those arrived in the 10 days after Election Day. Sometimes, even Alaska ballots cast in person on Election Day aren't received the same day. The village of Akusuk on the North Slope tried to phone in its 2024 election results, but couldn't get through to the Division of Elections. The mailed ballots arrived 9 days later. Alaska's Attorney General wrote a brief asking the court to be clear in its ruling and to consider places like Akutsuk. Pat Redman is co-president of the Alaska League of Women Voters. She says the current deadline is fair and allows remote places time to deliver their ballots.
Not every place has electronic transmission. Then those people, their ballots don't count. And that's disenfranchising people.
Attorney Scott Stewart, defending Mississippi's ballot deadline, says it's wrong for the Trump administration to suggest that late arriving ballots are subject to fraud.
They've sounded the anti-fraud theme. They haven't cited a single example of fraud from post-election day ballot receipt in
this
century.
Okay, thank you.
The court is expected to issue a ruling in June. An attorney who challenged the Mississippi law said states would have time to change their ballot rules in time for the November election. And over at the Juneau International Airport, it's currently 34 degrees with a few clouds. Temperatures are expected to dip into the mid-20s tonight, with areas of blowing snow expected and a wind advisory in effect until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Expect northeast winds of around 25 miles per hour with gusts as high as 55 miles per hour. This is KTOO. For more news, head to ktoo.org. Thanks for tuning in.